Welcome back once again. It is Tuesday. It is time for the Parish of the Patriots. This is one of those rare times. Normally I record this show over the weekend. I'm actually recording this show on the day it will air. It's fresh. It's fresh out of the oven. It's the fresh hot baked bread. I'm glad you joined us. I know most of you are just return, or not just return. I appreciate y'all returning. Our return listeners, if you are new, we do have a Christian-specific segment. That's roughly the halfway mark of the show. I say roughly because sometimes it might start a little early, sometimes a little later. But I do tell when we're moving into that. If that's not your cup of tea, that's whatever. I don't care. But I do suggest you give it a try, even if that's not your normal thing. You might be surprised. You might get something out of it. If you do get something out of it, you know what I always say. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. We have one thing and one thing only. The snail mail. Periodically, I still get emails from people and say, hey, how can I pay my tithe? There's only this. This is all I got. I know for those of you who don't live in the U.S., that's a pain in the ass. I get that. And I apologize. I don't have Bitcoin. I don't have any of these other things. Now, it's possible that in the future I might bring crypto back, because that's the one thing it's good for. I ain't going to lie. The one thing it's good for is international transactions. Somebody, you know, whatever amount of Bitcoin, some, you know, in Britain can be sent to me, and then when I cash it out, it's U.S. dollars. That's the one practical. People say there ain't no practical point of cryptocurrency, but there is. That is sending money internationally. You can send a little bit of crypto. You purchase it with your British pound sterling, your euros, your rubles, your yuan, whatever. You purchase it with that. Send that to me, and I sell it for U.S. dollars, and we handle that. I don't do that because right now, the way it works is so vague, and the way it could be enforced, and you can be punished through the tax system here in the U.S., it's oppressive. And when you read the guidance from the government on it, And they essentially, in so many words, say, well, we're really not sure what's legal or illegal ourselves, but we'll decide on a case-by-case basis. They literally pretty much say that, is we'll decide on a case-by-case basis what is and isn't illegal, and then after a while, that will set a precedent, and then we'll have a framework. That's how the government has lined out cryptocurrency here in the U.S. over the past several years. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of the experiments. I don't want to be one of the precedent cases where they decide, oh, yeah, no, you've totally broken the law. We haven't told you what the law is, but we've decided on your case, because let's be honest, somebody like you or me, we're definitely, they're not going to find in our favor. I'm not going to be that guinea pig. I'm just not. So that's why for some time, well over a year now, I don't take cryptocurrency. We're not doing cryptocurrency. Trump has made some noises about rolling that back and setting some actual guidelines where people know what is and isn't. You know, people get offended because an outfit like these crypto exchanges, you know, take Coinbase as just an example. You know, they close their accounts out of the blue. Well, that's because they don't know. They look at their algorithm, picks up certain things people are doing on their account that may be totally innocent, but they shut your account down anyway because they don't know. They don't want to be the guinea pig either, so they're trying to fault on the side of caution. There may come a point where they actually give some hard guidelines of what's allowed, and if I can make that work, I'll bring it back. Because I know, for those of you that aren't in the U.S., it's a pain to use the snail mail because you got to send dollars. You know, euros aren't going to do me any good. Now, I appreciate the thought. I really do. But if I go to the bank and give them your euros to get U.S. dollars, they're taking most of it. They're getting most of them. They're going to get most of the money. And I don't feel like y'all's support for the show isn't support for the bank. Anyway, I'm spending too much time on that. Didn't mean to. But I got snail mail. That's it. You know, if you're in the U.S., it's not a big deal. You can put, do your thing. You can write a check if you're not comfortable, putting dollars in there. If you're out of the country, you got to get your hands on dollars, put it in an envelope, fill out the envelope. That part's easy. Put it in the mail. If you can't get a hold of dollars, look, I appreciate the sentiment. You know, I know that, you know, you may not be able to. Well, I appreciate at least the sentiment that you would like to. So I really do. Let's get into listener supporter mailbag. I didn't mean to go on about that, but, you know, it is what it is. Mr. T coming through for us once again. I appreciate it, Mr. T. I wish I had something clever to throw on there, but I don't. Something clever. Mr. T don't have a note, and I don't have a note either. I don't know what to say either. What do we got here? Greg says, missed last month's tithes. I should be back on track now. Well, I appreciate it, Greg. And I have to say, it reminds me. I don't know why it reminds me, but it does. I still have that lingering cough from that flu bout I had, so it shouldn't affect us, but if you hear me kind of hack there for a minute or something, that's what's going on. Oh, also, just came to mind, I meant to bring this up earlier, and I have not yet. As you know, I quit doing the Friday Daily Nationalist, and it was a good call, by the way. One of my, you know, my main motivation, or at least one of my main motivations for doing that, is in an attempt to raise the quality of the other shows, namely the Monday Daily Nationalist and this show. You know, do away with the Friday one, and that will equate to, in my mind, it's real, that we will see a real increase of quality on the other shows. I think it's coming about. Hopefully you'll think so too. With that having been said, yesterday's Daily Nationalist Monday, I had a lot of fun with that show. I encourage you to check it out. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, check out yesterday's Monday Daily Nationalist. I wound up having just a really good time doing that show. So I hope you'll get a chance to check it out. And when I got done, I thought, you know, this is what I was going for. By discontinuing the Friday Daily Nationalist, having more energy and more, just some more energy put into these other shows. Let's see here what we got. GPD, sorry this is so late. I've gotten more sporadic as life's duties overtake what little time and money I have. Hope all is well with you, and may 2025 be a better year for us all. Cheers. And that's from Jackie. I do appreciate it, Jackie. Hey, I ain't worried about late. I do appreciate all of you who chip something in, drop something in the plate. Means a lot. Wrapping up. We wrap it up. Listener supporter mailbag. What are we gonna talk about? We got to get to the middle so we can get to the Christian specific segment. It's gonna be different today. It's gonna be a little off the wall. Nah, it's gonna be good stuff. I thought we'd talk about emotionalism. I as all of you have, you know, it's like the lines between men and women have gotten weird and blurred. And what I mean by that is you have these men who are emotional. They're effeminate, not necessarily like, you know, oh, I'm so feminine. I mean, they're emotional. They may be a masculine man on the outside, but when you start dealing with them, they get emotional. You know, they'll go into like an emotional meltdown. Doesn't make, you know, it's crazy. People are high strung. They get emotional. And I was thinking about, you know, emotion. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding, you know, of how you're supposed to deal with emotions. And the emotional aspect as a man, your emotional nature is related to women, to the feminine. I think I can make this make sense. Where hopefully it'll be interesting. Now, emotions are healthy. They serve a purpose. It can seem like they don't sometimes, and they can be aggravating to deal with. But you can't be a robot. You're not realistically be a, your emotions serve a purpose. They offset. Now, when you think about the feminine, you think about women, because women operate primarily off of emotions. You know, people say that they don't make no sense. They're crazy. You know, that's true because they operate primarily on what emotions they feel in the moment. That's just their nature. And people get mad about it and you know, ugly about the way women can be. Now, when you look at like videos of some of these women today and acting in just whorish, ridiculous manners, I'm not talking about that. I just mean the very nature of the fact that they operate primarily off of emotions in the moment. That's why you can't really put a lot of weight in things a woman says. My female listeners are offended, but y'all stick with me. You know, they operate primarily off the emotion. That's why it doesn't make any sense to men. You know, because it seems like from a male perspective, they go from one thing to another. You just, whatever at the moment, that's the big deal of today. They thrive off of, generally speaking, of course. They thrive off of drama. Why? Because it stirs up those emotions. That makes them feel alive, I guess you could say. But they operate off of the emotions of the moment. Now, if you think of it from a Christian specific, you know, man was created in the image of God, and from man, God created woman, a piece of it. In other words, hypothetically, if God hadn't created woman from man, he removed a part of man and created woman. Imagine how emotional we would be. That part of us, I guess it would be in a balance sort of way. Women are an external balance to the masculine. I think hopefully that makes sense. But we haven't had all of our emotionalism removed from us as men, just some of it in the form of women, that feminine nature. Women were extracted from men into a separate entity. So they're supposed to complement one another. Everybody's lost sight of that. Because of this toxic society we live in, you know, all of it, from feminism to social media and all the rest. It's just poison stuff that should just be, excuse me, normal interaction. Now, I want to circle back to emotions and the masculine from a man's perspective. Your emotions are a natural part of things. You shouldn't try to suppress them, you know, but at the same time, you should be in control of them, not them in control of you. That's the difference. In the masculine, for a man, you're going to feel emotions. Your emotions should not be controlling you. That's what women do. Women are driven by emotion. That's their nature. They can't help it. We're not supposed to be. And that gets to what I was saying about when I look around and I see men acting in a feminine way, not necessarily meaning effeminate, but they're letting their emotions drive them. You know, they let their emotions dictate their behavior. Your emotions are normal, but they shouldn't be driving your decision-making. We're supposed to be using our minds, reason, logic. And that means we have to be sure we control them. But you shouldn't, like, think because you have a feel, you know, a certain emotion, that means you're a bad person. That's a normal thing. And it's part of our survival instinct, you know, your emotions. Because you think about it. You know, sometimes things happen very quickly and you don't have time to stand there and reason through it. A good example of this is the fight or flight response. You're going along and all of a sudden somebody jumps out of the bushes in front of you and they're holding a big knife. Now, you don't have time to stand there and stop and reason and think, why is this person standing here? Why did they come out from the bushes? What were they doing in there? Now they have a knife. Are they threatening me or were they back there cutting up a chicken or something? What is going on? You don't have to. If you stood there and tried to work through that, you could wind up with a knife in your gullet and die. Your emotions kick in and you make a split second decision. You don't have that decision. May be right. It may be wrong. But a guy jumped out of the bushes. He's headed towards you now. He's not very far. He's say 5 foot away from you, jumps out with a knife and takes a step towards you. You don't have time to stand there and reason through what he may actually be up to. So your emotions kick in. Fight or flight response. You make the decision. You can grab his arm and arm bar him and take the knife away. You're going to turn around and run and hope you can outrun him. You're going to make that split second decision, and it's going to be driven by and large by emotion. See, this is a positive role emotion can play. When you don't have time to work through things, your emotion kicks in and says you got to do something, otherwise you could die here. This could be a serious, serious situation. Most of the time, these situations aren't like that. Most of the time, you should have time to reason out. Think about it. You might have an emotional reaction, but you should work through it and say, okay, well, you know, is that a reasonable thing to do? You know, what's the outcome of that? You work through the consequences of, okay, if I do this, if I act on this emotion, it's going to be good, it's going to be bad. You know, somebody says something that insults you, your initial reaction is, I ought to pop this guy in the mouth. But you work through that and say, well, if I do that, though, the whole rest of my day is going to get really complicated. As such, a healthy man has authority over his emotions. Now you may see where I'm going with this. A healthy society, a man should have authority over a woman, just as a man in himself has authority over his emotions. This is one of the inverted, crippling things of this broken society we live in. On the one hand, they say, no, women have equality. They can reason through these things just the way a man can, which is not fair. It's not, because they're not designed that way. You're literally asking the impossible. And like I say, a lot of times men get angry about it and frustrated about it, and understandably so. But we have to understand that the problem, and I'm not making excuses for poor behavior on the part of women, on the part of females, but we have to understand that the society itself is asking the impossible. They preach this equality. They say women can make these reasonable decisions and do all the same things. We got the equal voting. All that just means is whoever gets the most emotional reaction out of women is going to win. They preach this equality that women can do, you know, make these reasonable decisions just like a man can. They're asking the impossible of them. They're not built that way. They're just not. It'd be no different than if you, as a man, the society said, you know, the pregnant man meme, you know, you can birth children. Well, no, you can't. You're just not built that way. It's not going to happen. It's one of the many reasons we have an unhealthy society, because men do not have authority over women. It's a bigger version of not having authority over your emotions. It's not that you're chomping down your emotions. Your emotions are still a part of you. You're just not letting them drive you, because that leads to bad outcomes. Likewise, in a society, it's not about, when you say men and women are not equal, it's not about you're tramping down on women and putting them under your boot and grinding them up and treating them like shit. It means you have authority of them, over them, you know, but they're still a part of it. They're still a part of you. They have a purpose there. But you can't just let the emotions run wild. You as a man, your life will be a wreck if you're emotionally driven in your decision making. It's no different for a society. When you let women have equal authority over decision making, and they're primarily driven by emotions, it's not an insult. It's just the way they are. It's how they're wired. They can't help it. They wouldn't be women if they weren't. But if you let them have equal authority over how the society, the direction the society goes, you're going to get bad outcomes. Just as for a man as an individual, if he's emotionally driven, his life is going to be a series of poor choices and bad outcomes. You see it in individual people's lives, and you see it reflected in the society as a whole. This is the truth. And people won't accept it. I laugh when people talk about, oh, we need to do this, 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 and this. This would fix this society. This would fix This would fix America. And you say, you know, for instance, somebody will say, we need to get back to like what the founding fathers. And the first thing you're going to have to talk about is, well, women shouldn't be voting then, and they shouldn't have authority over a man. I don't care how staunch of a conservative or traditionalist they claim to be, they will run backwards from that. Women will jump up because, again, they're driven by emotion, and thus they're easily manipulated. Women will jump up and, oh my gosh, you want to oppress women and treat women horribly. Oh, this is just the Handmaid's Tale meme that they all run around and do. Now, what's funny about this is that women are more miserable now than they've ever been. You know, now if you're an older woman, if you're in my age group or older, you know, it may not be as apparent, but watch, you know, look at videos and stuff. Look how young people, the world, as far as from young people's point of view, women are more miserable now. Are more miserable now than they've ever been. And yet, if you said, well, let's do away with what's actually making you miserable, they'll fight you on it. Why? Because they're emotionally driven. And they've been told by the media over and over again that this is what makes you happy. I'm going to get a little preachy here for a minute. Bear with me. Satan lies. He's a liar and a murderer. Sin is... Sin never makes you happy. It can be pleasurable in the moment. It can be. But it will never. The idea that it's going to make you happy is a lie. Now, a classic example of this. You watch some of these videos, some of these influencers, whatever, they have a shtick they do. Well, they'll go out on the street at night, obviously on a weekend, and they will approach these women. 90% of them are dressed up like prostitutes. You know, they're going to the club with their friends, and they'll walk up and ask them these various questions. And the gag is that by and large, these women give completely moronic answers. And we're supposed to laugh about that. They give these moronic answers. And they're all, yeah, and sometimes they'll sit there and tell them. And it's crazy what people tell you, you know? Like, there'll be some of these videos and they'll run up and, you know, ask some woman, you know, well, you know, what's the craziest thing you've done? You know, these young women in their early mid-20s, what's the craziest thing you ever done? And you'll get answers like, well, you know, I had sex with five guys at one time. Now, the lie of sin is that she's having fun. And that's how you're supposed to view it. Oh my gosh, she's having so much fun. But she's not. She's miserable. If she found fulfillment in that, it would have been a one and done deal. And wow, her life is complete now. She's been gangbanged. Now my life is complete. But yet here she is back out running the streets, trying to find fulfillment. If she was at home raising her two kids, she would actually have contentment and fulfillment. You see, that's the lie. You're going to go out and do all this and you're going to have fun. Well, it might be fun in the moment. There might be a certain amount of pleasure of it in the moment. But it's not going to be happiness. It's not going to be fulfillment. You're going to find a purpose in life, in sin. That's the trick. And people, men and women, fall for it over and over and over again. This will give you contentment. This will make your life complete. It never does, but yet people keep going right back to it and trying, I just need to do it harder. If you point out what actually works, in other words, for instance, the woman in this video who admits that she's been gangbanged before and she hasn't hit 25 yet, and they're laughing, ha ha ha, I'm out here with my friends, and she's not happy. She's smiling and giggling and acting like a fool. But she isn't happy. She's empty. That's why she's back out on the streets, because she's still looking. Still looking for something. It's going to give her... The truth is, if she was married off at a young age and was raising her couple or three or whatever kids, she would actually be happy. She would be at home right now. She wouldn't have been run through by multiple dudes. She would have happiness and contentment. But if you point this out, people run the other way. They will fight you tooth and nail, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You can't have this. You're never going to have a healthy society when you promoting this, you know, based on this lie of equality. It's always inevitably going to run off the rails. Now, this current society we live in is we're beyond off the rails. We're off the rails upside down in a ditch. And you still got idiots running around talking about, we're going to fix it. All we got to do is shovel some more coal in the engine or whatever. You're not going to fix it. We are off the rails upside down on a ditch. We should just be crawling out and figuring out what we did wrong and planning ahead for next time. It's amazing when you think about it. You would think people just want to be happy, wouldn't you? Have you ever seen a happy feminist? I haven't. Have you ever seen one of these people and they're like, you know, so content and happy with their life and so well adjusted? They're always out of sorts. They're always angry. Why? Because they're not happy. They're not content with their lives. And yet they keep chasing. You know, people keep chasing the same thing that is elusive because it doesn't exist because it was a lie from the beginning. You can chase that equality idea all you want to, and you're never going to attain it. Why? Because it's a lie. It's a lie from the devil, because that's what he does. He lies to you. You buy into the lie, and you destroy your life. You have these women that did all of these things, you know, back to looking at the young woman giggling about being gangbang, had a train run on her. You fast forward, that same woman now is 45, living with her cats, no children. You know, maybe can't have any children because now she's too old, but also because she found out that, you know, there's consequences to having all these different men run through her, and she's got problems inside in her system. Now she's miserable. You have some of these women at least be forthcoming and try to warn the younger ones and say, don't do what I did. That's a lie. Kudos to them for doing that, but it's too late for them. That's the way it works. It's a promise of a good time. It's promise is going to make you happy, but it's always elusive, and you're going to be chasing. You're not going to find it there because it doesn't exist. It's a lie from the beginning. You know, that woman, fast forward, she's 45. Now she's miserable. She's alone. She's not got no kids. She's never going to have any kids because clock done run out while she was running around chasing something she was never going to attain. And now that time is gone. The opportunity is past. The season has come and gone. And there's no going back. No society that promotes the idea of equality, men and women being the same, is ever going to work. It's never going to be stable. It's always going to be in a state of upheaval. Because it's based on a lie. It is. It's based on a lie. A man has emotions. A man should have authority over his emotions. He shouldn't be run by his emotions. And likewise, a society, women play an important part. Their emotionalism right now is out of control. And it seems like this crazy thing is just toxic. Well, it is toxic because it's not in its proper, it's not fulfilling its proper role. When the roles are what they're supposed to be, a woman's emotional nature actually does serve a healthy purpose, just like your own emotions serve a healthy purpose. When men and women's roles are correct, a woman's emotional nature actually does serve a positive purpose. You can't see it now because everything's all screwed up. But in with everybody fulfilling their proper roles, it's a positive. It's not a negative. The problem is everything is messed up. Anybody says, oh, we can fix this, but we're going to have to hold on to this idea, this lie of equality. They don't get it. You can pay them no mind, but what you do need to pay mind to is we're heading into the Christian specific segment. We got to keep this. That's right. We got to keep the train. This train is not off the rails. Hopefully it's not. We're not upside down in the ditch like society. The train keeps on rolling, so you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. Now, before we get really rolling here, I want to spend a little time, and honestly, as I say this, I have no idea how much time I'm going to spend on this. And it's going to be something kind of out of left field. But it's at the end, it's going to be sound advice, if you would. A sound recommendation. I had a dream last week. I had a dream last week. And I'll be honest, it was unlike any dream I've had in a long time. And it was extremely terrifying and disturbing. You know, so much so that after I woke up, it hung with me. Usually, even if you have a bad dream, you wake up and within a few minutes, you kind of forget about it. This was completely different from that. Now, it got me thinking, and I wouldn't go so far as to say it was, you know, like a vision or something, because I don't even have a reference point for that. I wouldn't know. I've never had a vision before. So I'm not sitting here saying I had a vision and I'm here to share it with you. But the premise of the dream and what I found so disturbing about it is solid, because it got me to thinking about it. And I'm sticking this in the Christian specific segment because it gets to the heart of a spiritual matter. Now, I'm not going to go through the particulars of the dream, but I do want to say the message of the dream, what I came away with after this dream. You know, they're developing that Neuralink thing, you know, where they put, you know, basically put like implants in your brain. If a time comes in the future, you know, and we would be talking several years at the very least down the road, but if the time comes in the future that they develop this thing and commercialize it, don't do it. I'm just going to tell you, don't do it. Now, again, I want to get into, because I woke up from this and it got me to thinking about the probability. It's something I hadn't really ever considered. You know, I mean, yes, I've read where they're working on this and doing these experiments with it and patching into your brain. But I mean, I never really gave it a whole lot. I didn't dedicate a whole lot of thought to it. But after this terrifying dream, I mean, I woke up and I wound up spending quite some time pondering this. And you start thinking about the different things that or would have to be put in place for that. And some of them already are. Now, when you talk about Neuralink, and this, again, this is why I kind of put this in the Christian specific segment. You know, the mind, I believe this is backed up by other, you know, people who have prayed and thought and studied on this, but the mind is not the brain. The mind is of the spiritual. The brain is how the mind interacts with the world. It gets feedback and makes a connection and reasons with the inputs from the brain. But the mind itself, your mind is of a spiritual nature. I do believe this. That's why I say I think we get a misconception, like when we talk about an old person that has dementia, we say they lose their mind. Well, what they've actually done is they've lost contact with their mind. You know, the mind being of the spiritual, you don't lose that. What you lose is connection. So you have this person still here in this body, but their brain is having a hard time actually communicating with their mind. So it starts relying on itself and it starts getting into these weird, you know, like loops to where, you know, a person will sit there and repeat themselves or keep going back to the same old stories, or even actually in their behavior revert to childhood, which, you know, seems strange, but if you think of it as they've lost connection with their mind, so their spiritual mind is there, their brain has just ceased to function with it. If the brain is how the mind, which is of a spiritual nature, interacts with the world, makes that connection, then your spiritual mind remains intact. You don't lose your mind. It's not your mind that is going away. It is your brain. Your brain is deteriorating. Your brain is becoming no longer able to make that connection with your mind. Now, if we think of it in this manner, excuse me, if we think of it in this matter, what would it mean to allow them to put one of these brain implants in you? You know, one of these patched. It's akin to letting the Indian hacker have access to your computer to fix the problem. You have a problem? I'm going to fix it. Now I need you to click on this and I will have access to your computer. And they get in your computer. And now you see all those passwords, firewalls, all of that crap. None of that matters because you've given the Indian scammer access to your computer. He is in your computer the same as if he was sitting in your house. And then they scam you out of all your stuff, steal your information, your money and banking information, all of that. You know how the scam works. It's the same thing. If you were to let them patch into your brain like that, you see, now they have, how does your spiritual mind interact with the world? It's, in other words, what they're really after isn't your brain, it's your spiritual mind. If you gave them access, if you let them patch into your brain, now they have access to your spiritual mind. In a sense, you could say they would have the ability to disconnect you from God's network, as it were, and to plug you into theirs. It's truly a frightening prospect, isn't it? And you could see why I wound up when this was the premium, this was the outcome, basically, to summarize, of this dream I had. You can see why I was so bothered by the idea after I woke up. I became more bothered as I started thinking, okay, you know, because it's like, wow, that was crazy. But then I started thinking, if that were to come to pass, I mean, what would have to be in place? There would have to be multiple things in place. And I started considering this. The various things that would have to be in place for that to be realistic. When you understand that so many things in this world are actually driven by a spiritual nature, you understand the world better. I say that all the time. I 100% believe you can't truly understand the things, you know, the nature of all of the things you see around you if you don't understand the spiritual aspect of it. The things that would have to be in place to do this, well, for starters, the internet itself would have to be in place. Now, you start thinking about some of the various quote-unquote conspiracy theories or ideas that have floated out there. And, you know, I started thinking, I've seen the question posed. I'll spit out here in a minute. I'm sorry. But I've seen the question posed, and it's a legit question. Why have they built this whole, why this push for this 5G network? I mean, they claimed it was to make your cell phone faster, and that's ridiculous because it hadn't changed anything like that. So why are they building that network? Now, I'm not saying these are definite. Let me clarify. I'm not saying, you know, this is why, this is, I've got the answer. We're just thinking together out loud about this. I'm just sharing my thought process on it. I'm not saying any of this stuff is 100% true, but you consider it. We're just considering, we're working through it. It's kind of the way I think through things. What if? I don't commit and say, that's got to be it, 100%, that's got to be it. We think through it, work through it. Why are they building a 5G network? Why are they putting all this effort into this entire infrastructure that claim to make your cell phone internet faster? And that's bullshit. So why is it then? Well, if they wind up developing and essentially connecting your brain to a form of, you know, a network, I mean, it's going to be wireless. You're going to walk around with a USB cord hanging out of your ear. I mean, it's going to be wireless, and there's going to have to be a very capable network to do that. I have read, and I'm not knowledgeable enough on it to verify, but I've read from several different people who have looked into it, that 5G network, curiously enough, operates, and this is where a lot of the wild conspiracy theories about it come from, the 5G network actually operates on a very similar wavelength, frequency, as it were, of the human brain wave. It's interesting, isn't it? They're building this massive network that, you know, works on this wavelength. You can't really make sense of why they're doing that. But if you're going to get to the point to where they're essentially hooking you up to a network, it is going to be wireless. And for that to happen, what? There's got to be infrastructure for that in place. kind of makes you think, doesn't it? Now, you might be tempted to say, nobody's going to agree to, to have, you know, an implant put in their brain. Well, no, nobody would agree to that today. So I say a lot of things would have to be put into place. For instance, they would have to market somebody. They have to build somebody up and market somebody as a nearly messianic figure. In other words, to promote this, they're going to have a front person for it that everybody, you know, or most people trust. People have faith in this. I mean, the government can't come out and say, oh yeah, you should let us put this implant in your brain, because people aren't going to do that. But if you have somebody that over the years is marketed and built up as a form of very trustworthy, most people trust this person, and they're saying, yes, this is the thing to do, that's going to have to be put in place. We're not there. I'm not saying so-and-so, this person. That's why I'm not naming names and saying this person or that person, because that hasn't happened yet. We have to always remember when it comes to prophecy, and again, I'm not saying this is a prophecy, but prophecy itself, actual prophecy, like in the Bible, always has to be understood in hindsight. You kind of get a glimpse at the time, but where people truly understand something as prophecy is after it has come to pass. We kind of can look at it the same way, though. Again, I'm not claiming this is some prophecy I'm sharing with you. But no, anyway, they would have to have somebody trustworthy. Now, how would they implement this? And again, this is just thinking through this. And I stuck it in this section because it is spiritual at the end of the day. And as we work through it, I think that'll be more and more clear. Well, we know how they would promote it, the same way they've promoted other things. Let's stop there. Let's put a pin in that for a minute and return to things that have to be put in place, because I kind of skipped one. I've read, and again, I don't know if it's true, but some people, when it comes to the, you know, let me put it a different way. Why this brings us back to the question of why they're so insistent on getting these mRNA vaccines in you. You know, I mean, sure, you look at the COVID vaccine and Pfizer and Moderna and the rest of them made billions of dollars. That's an element of it. But they could have done that. When you think about it, they could have done that with a saline solution. They could have just, you know, put together saline and claimed it was a vaccine and made billions of dollars. In fact, it would have been cheaper. But they didn't do that. They did this mRNA vaccine. And as pretty much everybody's well known now, it's a worldwide experiment, and you're the guinea pigs. What are they testing it for? Now, some people will say, well, they think they're going to be able to manipulate your DNA, and that way they, not you, can wind up living longer. They can change, but we don't know. These are, as I always say, we theorize because we don't have all the information. That is one of the theories. Another one of the theories I've seen is that they are actual, like, little metallic, micrometallic things. Some people claim they're little machines. I don't know if that's true or not. But if the mRNA vaccines, in other words, if you're going to put a brain implant in people, you know, there's going to have to be adjustments to the body for that to work. I mean, you know, you're just going to be able to slap it in there and go, the body's going to reject it. There's going to be all sorts of problems. Body's going to have compatibility to go along with this brain implant. And she makes you think, well, could that possibly be why? Because they're already always talking about, you know, every vaccine they talk about now is an mRNA. They're talking about mRNA to cancer, mRNA to this, mRNA to that. So there is a pattern we can see that they're bound and determined to get these mRNA shots into people. And why? Again, it's like the 5G network. Why are they doing that? There has to be a purpose beyond just money. Because again, with the, for instance, with the COVID shots, they could have marketed anything. No one's gonna, what, the media is gonna lie about it? Or, I'm sorry, the media is going to tell the truth about it? They're gonna tell you, well, this is just saline solution. This isn't an actual vaccine. And they would have made more money. They're determined to get the mRNA shots in people. Why? There has to be a reason, and we don't know what that reason is. But we do know, for instance, if somebody has an organ transplant, they have to have a certain regimen. They have to go through all these testing, and then they have to take these drugs to get their body from rejecting it. If you're going to put brain implants in people, you know, your body's going to have to be, you know, there's certain elements of you that are going to have to be altered in order for it to accept that, in order to be able to put that in place. Now, to return to where we'd put a pin in things, how would they market this? We know how they would market it, just like they market everything, like they marketed the COVID shots, for instance. They come out with this and say, man, this is the greatest thing. Only really important people can get the brain implant. Celebrities, people with a lot of money. They're the one. Sorry, this isn't for you. Remember with the COVID shots, when they came out with the COVID vaccine, they claimed that this was limited supply, only a few people. You can put your name on a list, but don't get your hopes up because, you know, everybody wants this. And people would clamor out, you know, oh, we're having to take drastic measures because people are lining up trying to get two shots. In other words, they say, oh, this is just for the elite. You can get on a waiting list. Don't get your hopes up. They create a sense of scarcity. They create a sense of you want this. The important people are getting this. You want it too. You know, then they move into, well, we've got a new government program. Now there's more availability. You can get this thing at a reduced price or maybe even free. Just go ahead and sign up. We conducted miracles out here. They have miracles. Look at this. This guy has been blind his whole life, and he got this implant, and now he can see. You start thinking of things in the book of Revelation talking about, you know, deceiving people with, you know, false miracles. You know, with miracles, oh, look, we're making the blind see. We get the implant, the blind are seeing. The deaf are hearing. You have false. You see where I'm going with that and why I put this in the Christian-specific segment. The blind are seeing. The deaf are hearing. This is being presented to you by somebody they've built up to be a form of a messianic figure. Somebody everybody trusts. And they keep marketing like that. This is going to be great. You got people on there say, hey, would you like to learn a foreign language? Always wanted to learn a foreign language. Once you have the implant, 30-minute download, you're connected to the network in your brain. Now you can speak a foreign language right off the bat. You just want to. You could do it. And then it would get more coercive, wouldn't it? Oh, well, now you could just, you know, they have these deals with QR codes with your phone, only now nobody carries a phone hardly anymore because you do everything through the network in your brain. You go somewhere and you just look at the QR code and pay them through the neural network. And we're way out here with this. And again, I'm not saying any of this is going to come to pass, but when you start working through, you can see how it could. With now the way everybody gets paid and transacts business, virtually everybody is on this neural network. And again, you think in those days, you will not be able to buy or sell or trade without the mark. You see where that would fall into place. And ultimately, as we know, because we know their track record over time, they start off with the marketing, scarcity, make people excited about the product, then start expanding it, then people are lining up. And what they do is they get the group of people that aren't taking it, you know, that aren't signing up, is continuously getting smaller. It's getting smaller and smaller. People give in to family pressure. People give in to you just wind up going along and, well, I guess, well, everybody else is doing it. And that group, and what they do is when the group of people who refuses to do it, they get it whittled down to the hardcore holdouts that say, I don't care what you say, I'm never doing that. The goal is to get that group small enough now to where you can get rough with them, shall we say. Because, see, early on, it's all smooth talking, what is going to do, what you're going to get. Now you get down to a small enough group that nobody gives a shit. In other words, they can be as oppressive to you as they want. In fact, everybody cheer it on. Yeah, what's wrong with these people? Why aren't they on the network? You know, who cares? What, they can't pay their light bill? They can't buy food? Tough, get the network. You know, you have your freedom of choice, but you can live with the consequences. You don't want to be on the network? Tough, you can just starve. Nobody gives a shit. You're a small enough group now. You see, the mask can go ahead and come off now. No one cares. Put them in a camp, maybe. We don't need these kind of weirdos. Everybody else running around on the network, life is flowing smooth. These people, they want to stay in the 1800s or something. Now, we can base these premises off of what we've seen them do before. This is why it's relevant. Whether this actually were to come to pass or not, and again, I don't know. We're thinking through. This is a thinking exercise here. We base this, this is sound, because we base this off of this is what they do before. This is kind of a regular mode of operandi of how they work. So we know in this theoretical situation at this point, this is how they would do it, because that's how they've done things before. Now, things that are of Satan, you understand when things are of the devil and when things are just men being evil. The devil will always give you a choice. He will make it as difficult for you to choose correctly as he can, you know, to the point to where people will say, well, I didn't have a choice. But they did. The devil will always give you a choice. Now, your choice may be to go along with him or die, but you still have the choice, and that's important. This is the way you pick out things that are actually of the devil or actually satanic in nature, or the things that are just men being evil, because men are capable of incredible evil all on their own. The devil always gives you a choice. Now, you could sit there and say, well, in our theoretical situation here, I can't pay my light bill. I can't work. I can't buy food unless I get on the network. So I'm getting on the network because I have no choice. But you do have a choice. You do have a choice. That's how you know things are the devil. He makes it a difficult choice, but you have to have a choice. And as such, in our situation that we're thinking about, we're theorizing about here, they would never come then and tackle you and shove it in, you know, take you, tranquilize you, throw you on a table against your will and shove it into your brain. The devil can't accuse you. That's just done to you. You're a victim. That's just being evil. Now, that having been said, if the group of people that refuse to go along gets small enough, now you've got everybody. You read, if you read, for instance, Revelation, anytime or anywhere else in the New Testament where those end days are referenced, it's quite clear the remnant, because God works in these cycles of remnants. When you're all the way from the Old Testament forward, it's always you have a group of people and then it starts getting cold and he winds up with a remnant. It's referred to many times, you know, it's likened to how you refine gold or silver. You melt it. And the impurities come up, you skim those off, and you're left with a more pure product. It's like refining metal. God does these cycles of remnants, of refinement. Now, we know that in the end days, that group, that remnant is getting smaller and smaller. Now, it's possible that that remnant gets small enough that Satan throws it out and says, we will just force them. We will separate, because if this separates you from God, then he says, and that group gets small enough now that he wouldn't care even about accusing you. They'll just force you into separation from God. And then you think about how it's written that he cuts, that Jesus, that the Lord God cuts those days short, otherwise the elect might be deceived, the elect might not survive. He cuts those days short. You know, well, what would cause him to cut it short? If you get to the point that the remnant is now so small that they may just force them to go along with it, forcibly try to separate them from God, then you're talking about the Lord ending the whole exercise, removing the element of time, tearing it away, ending this whole experiment, as it were. Now, I've wound up spending way more time on this than I intended to. If something like that comes to pass, don't get it. Everybody's going to tell you to get it. Don't do it. It may never come to pass. I say, I'm not claiming some sort of prophetic vision. I'm not. I don't know. I wouldn't know. I don't have a reference point for that. But, you know, and that's why I was in and out on even talking about it at all. But I thought, well, the end point of that is, if they came out with this thing, this implant, this Neuralink, don't get it. That's sound advice, period. Regardless of if the dream means anything, if they come out with that, don't get it. Don't get it. Don't trust them. We know they lie, and they lie for reason. They're up to something. Let's get into it. I think we got time. We're getting a little short on time, but we can run over if we need to. Let's look at John. Let's look in the book of John, chapter 3. We're going to do verses 19 through 21, and this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." What does this mean? They love the darkness. They reject the light. They love the darkness because under the cover of darkness they do evil. You know, the vast majority of people that commit crimes, those crimes, what? They happen at night because they have the cover of darkness to do what they do. They can hide in the darkness and jump out from the bushes, break into your home undetected. If it's in the middle of the day, the neighbors might see them prying on your window, right? They love the cover of darkness. Of course, this isn't what Jesus is referring to. He's not referring to day versus night. See, the cover of darkness are the lies. And in fact, he says here, they reject truth. They would come to the truth. They love the darkness and refuse the light. The darkness in this case are their lies. They love the darkness and hate the light. The light being truth. Why? Because their deeds are evil. How do they hide their evil? How do they camouflage? How do they mask up their evil, their wickedness with the darkness? In other words, with lies. They have to lie because what they do, what they plan to do, their plots, their schemes, all their machinations are evil. And if they told you the truth, you wouldn't go along with it. So they have to create these quote-unquote narratives. They always talk about controlling the narrative. What that means is lying to you. I said this before, the truth doesn't need a narrative. The truth just is. When somebody has to create this whole big complicated narrative for you, it's because they're lying to you. They just have to make it sound plausible. They love the darkness. That means the darkness here is symbolizing they love their lies. They have to invent these. They have to create these narratives. They have to create this web of lies and deceit because their deeds are evil. And they don't want you to see that. They don't want you to know what they're up to. They're going to come out and tell you, well, this is what we plan to do to you. So many people instinctively ran away from the mRNA vaccines because on an instinctual level, they understood that they weren't telling us everything, right? They're just sitting there, oh, this is great. And then people are like, well, y'all haven't really researched this. There's no long-term study of the effects of this. People understood because they're lying. They have to cover it up with their lies. They don't want you to know what they're really up to. They can't come out and tell you, well, this is our actual plan, because you wouldn't go along with it. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't go along with it if they actually told you, so they have to lie. To create these narratives. Jesus says here, a man who's in the truth, a man who walks in the truth, you're walking in the light. You're worried about it. You're not covering it up because God will see it. You're walking in the truth. You're walking in the light. You don't have to lie about what you're doing because the truth just is. Like I said, you want to create a narrative for the truth. It just is. It's observable. You have to create narratives. You have to create these frameworks. You have to create this marketing and all of this other nonsense for your lies. And they lie because they're up to no good. They're not lying to you for your own good. They're not telling you a web. They're not covering you up with a web of deceit and a whole advanced market of lies, because at the end of the day, they want what's best for you. That doesn't make any sense. They create this darkness, the lies, because their deeds are evil and they don't want you to know. Simple as. If you look outside your house one night, you get up at 2 a.m, go to the bathroom, and you hear something, you go look outside and some guy's skulking around in your bushes, you're going to say, oh, well, maybe this guy's just going to trim my hedges. No, you're going to assume he's up to no good. Why? Because he's skulking around in the dark. When they knowingly lie to us all the time about everything, why should we assume maybe this time they're not up to nefarious things? Maybe this time they're not up to evil. Maybe they're just here to trim my hedges at 2 a.m. versus they're going to start prying on my window, or they're looking to steal something. They're known liars. We have the track record. They lie to us about everything. Why should we believe anything they say? Why should we not take anything they say with, at the very least, a grain or two of salt, just after simply looking at their track record? Jesus says they love the darkness. In other words, they love lies. He says they reject the light. Well, Jesus is the light, because he's what? The way, truth, and life. The truth. They reject the truth. They love the lies because the lies cover up what they're really up to. That's why they lie to us about everything, because they're up to evil. They don't lie to us about everything because, well, they have really good intentions. You gotta love those people. They're like, well, they have good intentions. They're inefficient. They're naive. No, they're not. They're not naive. They're up to no good. That's why they're lying. That's simple as. They're not here to trim your hedges at 2 a.m. They're up to no good. They're looking to steal something, break something. They're not out there around your hedges at 2 a.m. in your yard because, you know, they have some sort of innocent thing they're up to. They lie because they're up to no good. We know this. They have a track record. They reject the light. They reject Jesus. They reject the truth. Because their lies, their evil, cannot stand before God. They want to obscure it. The way they obscure it, the darkness Jesus is referring to here, the way they obscure it is with their lies. We're going to wrap up on that note, I suppose. I did wind up, like I said, I wound up spending way more time on the idea of that. But I'm just telling you, that's all I can tell you. I'm not making any claims to this, that, or the other. But if they come out with that down the road and start marketing it, don't do it. Like I said, we're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you tuning in. I hope you got something out of the show. And hopefully I'll see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.